football on Off the Ball.
One game a week is benefiting the coach. You know, United had 13 days to prepare for that game because the team have been so poor in domestic cup competitions. This is a season like no other.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
To hear the full version of the Sunday paper review, become an Off the Ball member now.
Another area that is absolutely not going away, and that sort of one of these topics leads to the other, but it's just as a complex conversation that you touched on earlier on, around the Republic of Ireland men's national team games against Israel and the idea of whether we should play them or not. Should the fans turn up or not? Will there be protests inside, outside? What will that look like? Dan McDonald takes it on in the Sunday Independent today. Israel issue won't vanish out of view. Opponents are exploring angles by referring to FAI rules. So more pressure expected to come on the FAI, not unlike Jarlath Burns that we've been talking about. But David Carell has dug himself into a position of no return. And in fairness, he has no ability to be grey on the issue. Obviously, they need to have a clear stance on it, which they have, which is that the games will go ahead. And I'll do just a bit of a quote here again, just to try and sum this. This is a quote from David Carell in Dan's piece. If an EGM is called, we'll respect that, obviously in relation to whether the game should go ahead or not, and we'll facilitate it, and we will listen to the viewpoints of our members. However, the day-to-day responsibilities of the association, fulfilling tournament obligations, etc., that responsibility rests with the board and the executive, and we have the requisite experience of leading international federations. We have the full picture in terms of the broader spectrum of implications if a decision was taken or not. I hope you're still with me here. And therefore, we have arrived at our conclusion, and that is we will fulfil these games, and that is not to change. We listen to people, but the games are happening.
Yeah, I mean, but then you look at the surveys that are happening, you know, I mean, Dan points out there the 75% opposition to the games there amongst the Irish Football Supporters Partnership. And I know Mark Gallagher has a good column in the Mail as well today, where he cites, I think, 90-something percent one of the survey during the week is opposed to playing the game. Mm-hmm. So it's clear, I think, if this went out to a bigger population, like towards the fans or, you know, the professional footballers, players, there would be a majority opposed to playing these games. But at the same time, you fully understand it because, you know, you're like, why should the footballers take the brunt of this, and why should they suffer the consequences, and why should grassroots football across Ireland suffer the consequences of a decision like this? And again, I think it's always a bit unfair, and I'm sure Jenny, you'll have thoughts on this as well, in terms of when an athlete puts so much into it and the players put so much into it, and then something comes down from above and someone says, well, this sponsorship is, they're linked to that, or like, you shouldn't be going there to do, and the athlete is just like, I just want to fulfill my dream of playing for Ireland and getting to a World Cup and stuff. It's a very unfair thing, and I think everyone is kind of on the same page that it shouldn't really be down to them to decide. But also I think there should be filtering in of their opinions, and even amongst the whole Irish footballing community and FAI members, in terms of this decision, and, you know, put it out there at the Congress and stuff, and let's have the actual votes and discussions rather than just a select group, as it seems to, you know, have been in terms of the Allianz sponsorship, like a kind of a select group of people who are making this decision and saying, well, this has been, you know, a democratic process. But it's like, is it truly democratic unless you're polling the full opinions of the players and then the members of the association across the country?
Yeah, and they have done, the FAI, some quiet work around that, it seems, as well. Jenny, he was in Dan's piece here. He says that he was vague on the detail, David Carell, but suggested that the FAI have reached out to players to ascertain how they were feeling about it. Didn't identify individuals, yet there is an awareness, Dan says, that it isn't a straightforward situation. Southampton midfielder Finn Azaz, an important player for Hemmer Helgumson, has Israeli heritage. And he goes on to say that the FAI have also met Katie McCabe to get her input on it. Like, it's an impossible one, really, for a player to... Like, there might be players within the dressing room who are saying, I ain't playing, I'm not turning up, and they might feel that strongly about it, and they're entitled to do that, of course. Equally, there might be a lot of players, like Kyle was saying, who just feel like, you know, I despise what's going on over there. But I do just, you know, there's a conflict, obviously, around this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So as Carl said, you know, athletes, they train day in, day out for years and years to fulfill a dream. And, you know, some of these athletes mightn't be around in another 4 years to go to another World Cup. So it's very hard to take that dream away from the athletes. You know, obviously, it's so major what is happening. But at the same time, the athletes aren't responsible for it. And it's very hard to punish the athletes for something that they have no control over. Mm. And it's a very difficult situation. You know, athletes, all they want to do is compete and fulfill their sporting dreams. And to have that taken away from them is, you know, so cruel as an athlete, because you wouldn't have seen this coming down the line when you were a kid and all you dreamed about was competing in a World Cup. So it's a very difficult situation. And I do agree that, you know, it's not just about what the general public think. It would have to go to the athletes. At the end of the day, they're the ones that are playing the games and are standing up there in front of everyone playing against Israel. So it's a difficult situation, but I really would feel for the athletes in this situation.
Oh, it's just impossible. And like, even they are going to get asked about it. Hemmer Hankinson wasn't put out for this one, but like, he'll be put out for at some point down the track. He'll have to have a view on it. Like, maybe the quiet, the, you know, the home view is slightly different from the view that when you have a microphone in front of you as well, that there's a, you know, massive sensitivity to that. Like, the added complication, like I mentioned, Finn Azaz, one of their teammates, has Israeli heritage. How does he feel about the whole thing? God, it's not easy.
Yeah, like, there is the thing of, you know, I think a lot of the politicians, it's funny, you know, one time I was at a press conference a few years ago, and it was it was after the war started in Gaza in 2023, like, and it was on the build up to the Olympics, and there was a senior politician there, and I won't say the name because, like, it was in the kind of post interview start, and we were kind of just chatting casually. But like, I did bring up the sort of aspect of Israel and whether they were going to basically do anything about it, and he said to me, you know, the reality is it'll make no difference if we do something, and, you know, you're obviously shooting yourself in the foot. But then he was also, like, the office had also put out this vehemently stance against Russia and refusal to sort of engage with Russia in sporting terms. And at this point, if you can't see the hypocrisy of that, you're just completely blind, because, like, there's just no, like, both heads of state, Putin and Netanyahu, of international arrest warrants, you know, in terms of the things that all the human rights campaigns have said about Israel. It's just so clear now to anyone who's looking at this neutrally and objectively what's happening. And to have the example of Russia presented to us across the spectrum of sport in the last 4 years, and in many sports, and I suppose the sport I specialize in athletics, they haven't been allowed back at all. Like, the tennis players, the swimmers, you know, the gymnasts have been allowed back in terms of individually and stuff like that, but in athletics it's like, no, you're not coming back at all. Even as neutral athletes in the kind of state-sponsored doping thing, separate to that, they had them back as neutral athletes, and then they just said, no, you're not coming back. And it's Seb Coe, the head of World Athletics, and has stayed firm on that stance. But then, like, even back in the World Championships in athletics back in September, you know, it was so apparent that there's a double standard here. And to me, it seems very clear that the double standard is based on a fear of the US and the US power. And even, like, you know, because clearly Europe on the whole, and the EU, I suppose, specifically sways towards it, is supporting Israel. And the US obviously sways massively towards supporting Israel. And enough US politicians and Trump himself have sort of made very clear the consequences that will come down for a country, say, that would take a stand and try to stand up and refuse to play against an Israeli team. It will be severe. So obviously everyone across the world is sitting there going, we don't want to be the ones to suffer that. And even economically, we rely so much on US business that, like, there could be repercussions there. So maybe if you're looking after the well-being of the Irish people in a selfish perspective, maybe the correct thing to do, or even Irish sports people and grassroots sport and the funding and things like that, maybe if that's your priority, maybe the right thing to do is to play Israel and not take a stance. But clearly, politically, we saw with the boycotts in South Africa that it was actually effective in changing the apartheid regime. And then to think that we had this example of everyone standing up to Russia, and again, it doesn't seem to have made any difference to Putin and what he's doing. And I think realistically it won't make any difference to Netanyahu either. But at the same time, you're like, well, the alternative is just sit back, as we did this week, and watch another video of a 14-year-old boy being shot to death and bled out in the streets as a cordon of IDF members stand around him and watch him bleed to death and then place a rock on video beside him to try and create some aggravating circumstances. It's just like story after story, week after week, and everyone in our Western world does nothing because we're all afraid of upsetting the US and their military power. And it's just sickening to watch. Mm-hmm. But again, I say that and still think you can't really put it on the athletes to change this when they're just trying to play the game.
To hear the full version of the Sunday Paper Review, become an Off The Ball member now.